Welcome to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts Podcast. I'm Steve Mulder, Artistic Director, and I will be your host as we talk to GCA personalities past and present, listen to clips from our choral archive, and share together our love for bringing the best choral music to the community. This episode of Inspiration and Beauty is brought to you by our sponsor, First Presbyterian Church of Griffin. At First Presbyterian Church, they envision sharing the good news of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection with those in Griffin and the surrounding areas, including those who do not regularly attend church and who do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. The church is located in Griffin at 1349 Old Macon Highway. Check out their website, www.fpcgriffin.org. Our guest today is John Lawless. John is the Director of Percussion Studies at the Kennesaw State University School of Music, where he has worked since 1998. He is the principal timpanist of the Atlanta Opera Orchestra and has played regularly with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra. He is a founding member of the Atlanta Percussion Trio, a group that has been together for over 30 years. In addition, John is frequently freelancing as a pit and studio percussionist. He is one of the busiest performers I know. John first played with GCA in season one when he played timpani for our Masterworks concert in March of 2008. Since then, John has been a regular collaborator and is a familiar face to our singers and to our audience. When John plays, his face reflects his joy in making music. That joy is contagious to all who share the stage with him. John Lawless, welcome to Inspiration and Beauty.
Thanks so much, Steve. My pleasure. That was a nice thing you said about when I smile when I play, because I get a lot of comments, and I'm thinking sometimes you shouldn't be looking at me that close. Well, you look like you're having fun. I'm always
our photographers are good at catching just the right faces, you know. And as we publicize the podcast, we'll have to include a few of those live shots of your face there. We know you as a performer, John, but you also have a regular life and a beautiful family. For those of us who may not know, tell us a little bit about your family and give us a picture of John Lawless behind the scenes.
Okay, so I'm married to Angel, and she's an unbelievable violinist, has played down there several times as well. It's a big joy when we get to come down together, obviously, for many reasons, but we get to share a lot of time in the car and then on stage, and we love to perform together. So we get a lot of opportunity to do that. It's great to come down there and play with you guys when that arises. So we've been together. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary. So that was a milestone. We were going to do something spectacular, like maybe go to Ireland. And instead we went to North Georgia and got a big cabin and had a great time. So that was our 25th. We have two children. Our oldest is 21, Hannah. She's a criminology major at the University of West Georgia, and she's on the president's list. We have a refrigerator full of her accolades from all the presidents in the university. She's kept a 4.0 her entire career. She's a senior now, so super proud of that. And she's going to go on. In fact, her professor now says she should go get her master's and doctorate at the same time at Harvard. And Hannah was like, what? So anyway, she's thinking the moon now, and everyone's pushing her in that direction, so she's going to be terrific. We have a name, Bryden, and he is one of the sweetest humans you'll ever meet, biggest heart you'll ever find. He's trying to figure out exactly what to do. He knows it's not criminology, and he knows it's not music, at least the traditional music. He writes his own stuff and does all the beats and does his own production, so going to try to find a niche for that. So he's constantly up in the room recording himself and working on, you know, his own music, which we fully support. Obviously, we don't quite get that because it's not our music, but we sure do support it. And we're pretty active. We've been doing a lot of gardening here at home since the COVID situation hit. We've had tremendous luck with tomatoes and eggplants and all kinds of things. We've been eating like crazy our own produce, which is kind of fun. So that's the fam.
That's good. Yeah, we have several couples in GCA, and sometimes Monday nights become like a little mini date night for them as they drive to and from the rehearsal together and spend some time making music together. And you and Angel, of course, have been on our stage many times. Last time I remember is the operatic gala where she did that lovely violin meditation by Massenet. That was so wonderful. But she's played several times when we've had you both there, and sometimes she comes by herself too. So we appreciate any time we have a Lawless in the house.
Thanks.
So you work a lot with Karen Hunt and Scott Douglas. They are also regulars with GCA. Tell us about the Atlanta Percussion Trio a little bit and the mission of that group.
Oh my. Well, we started in 1982. We're still active to this day. So that's quite a run, if you do the math on that one. It started with being sponsored by Young Audiences. When they first came into Atlanta, we were one of their flagship groups. And over the years, we went out on our own. Karen and booking us, you know, maybe the last 15 years, possibly. Going to schools, at one point we had 11 different shows we offered to schools, educational, where, you know, we're teaching the kids all about music without them really knowing it. They're just having a great time. And, you know, we're doing history of music all around the world, history of steel drums, history of dance music, holidays all around the world. So, and there's always a volunteer segment where they're playing along with us, you know, at least two segments in the show. They're doing Swiss bells or shakers and tambourines from Italy or whatever. But we've had a joy. That's one of the few, I shouldn't say that. That's one of the gigs where when you leave a school, you always feel like you've made an impact. You've done the right thing. You know, you've had concerts like that where you've left thinking, oh, that was one of the keepers. Percussion trios, they're all kind of that way, you know, because we get to take kids away for 45 minutes from a normal school situation, and they're learning, and the teachers love it because we're staying on task with all of the different points that we're hitting, you know, historically or whatever. So it's been really fun. We've done, you know, like since 1982, thousands and thousands and thousands of shows. And we're still good friends. It's hilarious. Usually people get a little jaded after a long time like that. And we're still, like Karen was just at the beach and she sent me sunrise pictures every single day. Yeah. I asked her to. And of course she was true to her word. She would send me a sunrise every day up until yesterday morning. So we're still all really close friends, and that makes it quite special, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can tell there's a chemistry between you three when you perform as a group with us. Several times you've performed as the Atlanta Percussion Trio, not just part of even performing by yourself sometimes. And we find that true of the singers too. Over the years, we develop a relationship, and it just kind of makes everything have a little more gravity. The music means a little bit more when you're making it with folks that you care about and folks that you have a relationship with, folks that you know. And that's
we all read each other's minds. It's pretty funny when one of us takes a left turn in an improvisation moment, we all just jump there. It's hilarious. Yeah. That just happens over the years. But like Scott will go out on the stream sometimes, and Karen and I just like, psh, and it's we're fun. Already there. And it's like, after which we talk about, like, how do we do that? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm remembering back to the Island Time show that we did out in Flovilla. And I think one of the things of that was a demo. And I think that was a little bit improv. At least it started out with kind of a thumb piano thing. And then you all kind of improvised around that and just kind of ran with it. Yep. I'm going to play a clip from that concert, not the demo, but a piece from the Caribbean Mass by Glenn McClure. This is the Santo movement of the Caribbean Mass. And it's got there's a place here where the percussion and the choir kind of have a dialogue back and forth, and then it kind of takes off into the ending. So let's listen to this clip from Island Time with Griffin Choral Arts and the Atlanta Percussion Trio.
Oh,
That was such a beautiful evening. Outdoor, we don't perform outdoors very much. In fact, I think that is the only concert that we've had that was completely, you know, just an outdoor, in the air kind of venue at that amphitheater. And it was such a great acoustic, hard to believe it was such a great acoustic out there in that amphitheater for us. And it was a beautiful night and some really great music there. I want to talk now about May 2013. In May 2013, you introduced Griffin Choral Arts and our audience to a gentleman named John Wesley Dankwa, who was from Ghana. That was another amazing night in Barnesville.
That was a magical time that could never be duplicated. It's amazing. We hosted him at KSU, the International Studies Department, as well as the Music Department, brought him over from Ghana. And the hilarity, Steve, that was his first time out of Ghana, his first time on an airplane, his first time. So he showed up in New York, then flew down to Atlanta and took me up to Kennesaw, where he stayed for a few months. And all those firsts, it was just unbelievable. He brought us, I took him back to his residence in the International House, and he had two drums. I don't think I told you this story. Two large drums wrapped up with plastic wrap and handles, makeshift handles. And that was all that was in his room when I took him back to his place. And I said, so where's your luggage, John? And he goes, well, I only had two carry-ons, so I wanted to bring you drums. He literally left Ghana with two drums and the clothes on his back and the shoes on his feet. And he said to me, he says, I wanted you to have these drums. He had them custom made for KSU. We still have them. And he says, I knew I could get clothes in Kennesaw, Georgia. I knew I could not get these Kete drums. So he, I can't imagine the reverse of worth me going to Ghana for the first time and taking him a snare drum and no clothes or a toothbrush or anything else. It's incredible. It was incredible. So we made sure he got clothes and all the stuff he needed. So he had the biggest heart. You got to meet him. The biggest heart of anyone I've probably ever met. And when you talked to me about this African, you know, concert, that's when I posed to you, well, what if, you know, can you carve a little extra money and we, because this is special. And I had to actually get John to change his flight. So he stayed an extra like 3 days before he went on to New York. But I think that it was one of the highlights, probably of my situation, maybe down there, because we were doing African music. And then we have this absolute master African musician that happened to be here.
It gave an automatic authenticity to everything we did that night to have him in the house.
I got to tell you this, and I don't think you knew this. Do we have time for a story?
Sure.
Are we okay? Okay, check this out. So after he left, and he was gone for maybe, 3 months, that fall, the president of Ghana came to KSU, and it was a massive ordeal. No head of state had ever come to KSU, and here's the president of Ghana coming in. They asked me, with my percussion ensemble, to play John Wesley's, you know, compositions, all the traditional stuff we had done without John Wesley. And so I had to be the leader, and I was nervous as a cat. I couldn't, I was just beside myself freaking out like, oh gosh, can we pull this off? So the day before we were to play for the president, I'm walking across from my studio to the stage to have our last rehearsal. It was like a mirage. I looked down and up the loading ramp walks John Wesley with the biggest smile in the world. And I thought I was seeing things. And I said, are you here? And he said, I am here. And it was funny. He talked someone into funding his flight because it was the president. And he said, I have to be there with these people. So we played for the president of Ghana with John Wesley and my entire ensemble. And it was one of the most brilliant performances. In fact, the actual entourage was supposed to walk in, walk by, and go eat. And the president and his wife and his entire entourage stopped in front of us and stayed for 30 minutes while we played. They did not leave. It was incredible. Wow. And every time we played, they would do this like inverted peace sign and pointed at us. And I looked at John and I said, is that good? He said, that's the best we could ever get. That's like, you are incredible. And that was like, you know, accolades from the president. So it was really special. But for him to make it back over for basically 2 days.
Yeah.
From Ghana to us for 2 days. but he pulled it off and it was just brilliant. So yeah, that Fantastic. Was super special. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have a clip of John Wesley in Barnesville at the Griffin or at the Gordon Fine Arts Auditorium doing an improvisation kind of thing. You were there with Marcus Reddick on that program. And as I remember, you guys kind of set up a kind of a pattern of hand percussion things. And then John Wesley kind of took off over the top. So we'll listen to a little bit of this drumming demo from Barnesville. Was a remarkable collaboration, and I think you know, if we can ever do something like that again, I hope that we'll be able to take advantage of that.
If you are looking for a biblical community where those called by God are fed in an inspiring environment, consider First Presbyterian Church of Griffin, a place where all accept one another and are accepted, where all love and are loved, where all shepherd and are shepherded, where all encourage and are encouraged, where all forgive and are forgiven, and where all serve and are served. Visit www.fpcgriffin.org to learn more.
Are there any other memories or thoughts that you have about your work with GCA? It's been a great relationship, and you've been around for Christmas things, you've been around for our Masterworks things, and is there anything that sticks out in your memory about working with GCA?
You know, well, there have been a lot of different things we've done. I think one thing that's sticking out, and I'm not trying to like pump you up, but I mean, the quality of your group has really risen. And it wasn't ever something to be embarrassed by, obviously. Always, here's one of the caveats, super, super nice people. They're always fun to see. They're always, you know, they always smile and say, thank you so much for coming. And it's like, are you kidding me? I love being down here. So, but the quality, the last thing we did, was it was Christmas time? Was that it with Marcus and I played
Rudder Gloria.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, and I mean the quality of the group, all those like time signatures that you know, they all work, man. So I looked at Marcus and I said, these guys are really like they've come a long way. He says, dude, no kidding. So like, I mean, we both noticed it, and you know, it's you don't worry about concerts now. I think, you know, like, oh my gosh, we're on the edge. Hopefully we make it through. It's a very polished situation. I'm sure you listen to recordings from the years. you know, one to the next up until present. I bet you notice everything. Intonation's better. The beat is better. You know, everyone's like locked into the tempo better. It's amazing. So yeah, that stuck out actually quite profoundly stuck out with the rudder we just did.
Well, that's always great to hear, of course. And we are deliberate, of course, in trying to develop those things over time. And we're fortunate to have some, you know, some consistency in our membership. We have folks that have been there since the beginning and you just get better the more you do something and that experience that really pays off. I worry about first impressions sometimes, and I wanted to bring you back to, I think it was the first time you performed with us at the Methodist Church in Griffin. And there's a step in our sanctuary that just is kind of really
I tripped.
It is. I saw, I didn't know what I was seeing in my head, but here you are going down the steps. And then that last one, you just didn't see it. And whoa, a little bit of a spill.
And I remember that too. And I twisted my ankle, but luckily I already had my timpani in. They were already up on the stairs and I was actually popping down to go get something out of my van. And I just went flat on my face. Yeah. And twisted my ankle. Yeah. I remember that totally.
I thought after that, I have to be really nice to this guy. Make sure he doesn't come back and, you know, lawsuit or something. But that was our first impression back there.
That was user care.
John, you've played timpani for us, and you've played the cajon, the trap set, a myriad of hand percussion instruments. I want to play one final clip from season 2 Masterworks, and that was a concert we called World Music. And on a song called Uyai Mose, you used what you call a talking drum. And I want you to tell our audience a little bit about that instrument and how you make it to talk like it is.
Okay. Yeah, there's many different countries in Africa that use a talking drum. I think the one I used back then was from Ghana. It's two same size heads on a cylinder that's an hourglass shape, and it's attached with strings. Both heads are attached to each other. And so when you squeeze it, it's also called a squeeze drum. We you know, slang it and calling it a squeeze drum. Lots of names. Talking drum is obviously the most common name here. Tama, Dono, there's lots of different names for the drum. But yeah, you use a curved stick and you squeeze it, and as you squeeze it, the pitch goes up. So you can literally do a scale. You know, you were referring earlier, we were speaking about a singing drum, and literally you can play you can play sort of a rhythmic song with it for sure. I have one now that I think I used the last time we did an African thing with you that has snakeskin heads. And that's really cool. That's from Nigeria. Mm. And it's a treat. I mean, when I found that drum in a drum shop in North Carolina, my wife walked up. She says, "Oh, don't we have one of those already?" I said, "Well, we have 7, but we don't have one yet that's made of snakeskin, but we're about to." So now we have that drum, which is cool. But yeah, the talking drum is very special. So you actually have a clip from that as well?
Yes, I'm going to play a little bit of that. Uyai Mose, and you can hear the talking drum at the beginning and at the end. I think I'm going to start in the middle and play a clip towards the end. So let's listen to Uyai Mose. Cool.
Come and worship Yahweh. Come all you people, come and worship Yahweh.
I don't know what it is about percussion and choral music, but all the pieces that have percussion seems like they're fun, they're engaging, they somehow dig deeper into our emotions, and so much fun to remember these great memories and these great performances that we've shared together. John Lawless, thank you for joining us today. You have filled us with inspiration and beauty, and we look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thanks, Steve. My great pleasure.
We express appreciation once again to our donors and advertisers, and especially to today's podcast sponsor, First Presbyterian Church of Griffin. At First Presbyterian Church, we envision helping all who come, youth through adult, to discover their divine gifts so that they may serve Jesus' kingdom as ministers, either within the church or in the community. Visit www.fpcgriffin.org for more information. Thank you for listening to Inspiration and Beauty, the Griffin Choral Arts Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please recommend us to your friends. Contact us if you would like to be a podcast sponsor. Join us next time as we talk to another GCA personality and listen to more recordings from the archive. Griffin Choral Arts, using inspiration and beauty to create community.